Now, those of you that got special needs, maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need financial situation change. Maybe it's something about your children. I want you to grab hold of this word this morning. I want you to listen to what the Spirit of God would say to you in this lesson. It's going to change your life so drastically. It's so simple. You're going to say to yourself, how could I stumble over this? But I want you to position yourself to hear with your spirit this morning. Now, words transmit. Words are connected to the frequency of the subatomic level or the unseen realm. Everything you say is connected to the unseen realm. That's the way it's been designed by God. You were born out of words. You were born again because of words. Therefore, what we say really does matter. Even in your playtime, everything you say matters because words run this system. The spirit realm is controlled by the power, say the power, of the spoken word. When you release words, you release power with the words. And those words are commanded to create what you just said. You didn't know you were that great, but you are. In the spirit realm, we can bind and loose with our words. Look at Matthew 16:19. We can bind and loose with our words. How many of you believe that? Matthew 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth. How do I bind it? Do I take a piece of rope and tie it up? No, I have to bind it with what I say. I bind it with what I say. What am I binding? Am I binding a person? No, you're binding the spirits that's coming against you. You have dominion and authority. That's how powerful our words are. He says, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm binding and I am loosing. So in other words, I either bind the enemy against my life or I am loosing the enemy into my life. And how am I doing that? I am doing it with my words. This is why you must watch what you say, even in your moment of anger, because you are binding and loosing. Turn right over to chapter 18. Look at verse 18 and 19. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you, and see, he made it very specific, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Didn't say Jesus was going to do it for you. This is you. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It's talking about that prayer of agreement. But he's saying binding and loosing is in your mouth. So when stuff is in your house and it's running rampant, what's wrong with your mouth? Can't it work? You're saying stuff about it. I can't stand this. They're getting on my nerves. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Look like we ain't gonna never get ahead. I'm so sick and tired of this. You're losing that in your environment. And then when you get it, you don't like it. You just built that with your words. You're looking at a situation you don't like, and then you're telling it, I don't like it. And you keep right on get what you don't like, because you won't change what you say. You are a faith person, and words don't have any other choice but to comply when you talk. They've been commanded. Because God said, let us make them in our image. Whenever God spoke, God got what he said. And if I'm made in his image and in his likeness, that means whatever I say, I can have. Oh, you need to read Mark 11. Because we've been commanded to say some things because I can speak to the mountain. And it must be moved. Look at Psalms 45. Look at verse 1. Your tongue is a powerful thing. This is why, you see, you've been made as a faith person. And you've been made to talk words. Psalms 45, verse 1. Are you there? My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made. Which I have made. Touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I'm writing my story with my mouth. I'm writing like a poem, an author that write poems. I'm writing my life with my words. And is always ready to write. He said, my mouth is always ready to write. But what is it writing? Look at Psalms 109, verse 17 through 19. We're going somewhere this morning. Are you hearing? Your mouth has got more power than you give it credit. Look at verse 17 through 19. Psalms 109. Are you there? As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. He said, if you talk cursing, let it come unto you. If you don't talk the blessing, it's going to be far from you. Ooh, Jesus. Look at verse. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with a garment, he said, you wearing it like as a garment. So let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. It's going to be permeate through your whole life. What you say is affecting all of your life, right on down to your very health, to your bones, to your very structure. Every word you say has an impact. Let it be, verse 19, let it be unto him as a garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he girdeth continually. I want to read that out of another translation because I want you to hear what it's saying. Psalms 109, verse 17. The Living Bible says it this way. He loved to curse. Now he's cursed. He never blessed others. So don't bless him. Cursing is as much a part of him as his clothing, or as the water he drinks, or the rich food he eats. Now may those curses return and cling to him like his clothing or his belt. And who started it? He did. What the crazy stuff he say? I can't stand my wife. And then when she don't act like you want her to act, who said it? She just responded to what you said about her. You can't get no holy woman and you talking, calling her crazy. Calling her dumb, stupid. You gonna get dumb, stupid, crazy, lazy, can't cook. You gonna get all of it because you gonna wear it like a garment because that's what you announced on your house. And until you say something good about her, you can't get good from her. What you're expecting is for her to override everything you say and be a holy woman. It doesn't work like that. You're building your world. And she might have a good environment, but you're building your world. That's if she don't talk crazy like you. Because she might give you an answer that opened the door for her. Woo, Jesus. He says if you talk the curse gonna cleave to you like a garment. If you talk the blessing, it'll come to you. Now look at Psalms 106. I'm telling you, this faith thing is powerful. We gotta start pretending like we doing something that we are not really doing. Look at Psalms 106, verse 34. No, look at verse 21 first. Psalms 106, verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. God said, I'm going to get rid of them. Because I'm tired of them complaining. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach or in the gap to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yet they despised a pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, in their houses, in their bedrooms, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Their constant complaining, which is cursing God. When you complain against your situation, you're telling God, you have not done enough for me. Instead of you fixing it, you're cursing it and complaining. You're saying to God, you haven't done enough for me, or else I wouldn't be in this mess I'm in. You got your mess all messed up when you start talking dumb. And you're going to have to talk your way out of it. That's the only way you're going to come out. You're going to have to talk out of it. Talk your way out of it. It says they're constant complaining, which is cursing God. They complain because they didn't trust God. Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. They had trust factors. When you constantly complain, you got trust factors. You got a trust issue. I ain't get too many amens on that one. You got a trust issue when you complain consistently. The Israelites complained because they didn't trust. They kept right on bringing one accusation after the other against God. Even after. He had done all this stuff for them. Because they had a trust issue. And when you don't trust, you can't be in faith. Oh, Jesus. So they didn't have any faith towards God. They still went after all those idols after God had done all of that. Why? Because most people look for the spectacular. But that doesn't persuade you to trust. That makes you dependent. You can be dependent upon somebody and still not trust them. People do it all the time. You're in marriages. You're dependent on one another, but but you really don't trust each other yet. That's why you complain about each other, because you got trust issues. You don't complain about nobody you in love with and like being around them. You can't mix that up. When you complain about your partner, it's because you got trust issues. Stop lying to yourself and to them. You got a trust issue. And then he says, they exalted their circumstances above him, which means they made the way that what was happening to them an idol. They began to worship their circumstances. You can't build faith worshiping your circumstance, because you make the circumstance bigger than your God. And anything you make greater than God, God can't help it. He can't change it. Listen, with speaking the word, there's a motive that must be in place. The motive must be to plant that word. I'm going to go there. Or else we are just quoting scriptures. See, the intent as to why I say a word has to stay intact. And my intent must be to plant that word. Where am I planting it? In my heart, in the soil of my heart. So I can't just say a word. Now, listen to me. Psalms 119, you don't have to turn there. Verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart. He says, I've hid it in my heart. Why? Because I don't plan on sinning against you. And your word is what's going to protect me from sinning. So when I take on your word, I got an intent to plant it. And I'm going to plant it in my heart because it's going to keep me from sinning. The word must be planted in order for it to make faith. Quoting it does not make faith. Because you can memorize a scripture. Now, memorizing is good. Don't get me wrong. You got to be familiar with it. But it does not mean you have incorporated that scripture into your life. I know one guy that my husband used to be a part of our ministry years ago. He could write word for word that my husband was saying, give it back to him, but he wasn't living it. He could memorize it, but he wasn't living it. Because he never intended to incorporate it in his life. He just liked to be in the know. You know, so when he around people, he know what to say in an environment. Not because he was living it. Whew, Jesus, hallelujah. Knowledge and wisdom are not the same. Look at Proverbs 5. You said, all this got to do with faith? Absolutely. Proverbs 5. Yeah, let me get there. Proverbs 5, look at verse 1. All this have to do with your faith. So when we just memorize a scripture, but the motive and intent is not to incorporate into my life, I'm just quoting the scripture. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. He says, so wisdom and understanding, watch this, let's read verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Oh, so wisdom, understanding, and knowledge can't be the same thing. Let me ask you this. And it's going to come real clear to you. How many of you know the words of the song, Believe For It by C.C. Winans? You've heard it enough. Believe For It, or The Goodness of God. How many of y'all know the good? You know the words to The Goodness of God. Can we get amen on that one? Okay. How many of you can sing it? Where it ministered to somebody else. Caught you. That's the key. How many of you can sing it? You know, the words, knowing the word alone does not make you able to sing the song. A singer knows that you got to know the tempo. You got to know if there's any modulations. You got to know if there's any changes. You know when to breathe. So that the dynamics of the song can flow in the right place. See, that's a person that know the song. We learn the words, but we still can't sing the song. Ha! Because we don't know the song. Did y'all get that lesson? I told you it was simple. See, quoting the words only is not knowing the song. Because there's more to the song than just the words. When knowledge becomes wisdom, faith is present to perform it. Knowledge and wisdom work together, and they kind of overflow. But their individual in their purpose is like a husband and a wife. They work together, but their individual assignments make them do something different, even though they're working for the same common cause. So confessing the word without the intent to live by that word does not create faith. You need to write that one down. Because sometimes people do a lot of confessing, but that's not the word they plan on living. They got a crisis in their life, and they know they're supposed to say the word. But they're not ready to change. Because it's a process. Say a process. Now you need knowledge of the word to have seed. Knowledge is the seed. That's the word you get. You're getting word today. You got to have word to sow. You got to have word to sow. Look at, let me make sure. Thought I had that. Look at Mark 4. I think that's where I want to go. Mark 4. I'll let you know the verse in just a minute. Yeah, Mark 4. Let's look at verse 3. You got to have knowledge, which is the word in itself. So if I'm teaching you something, I'm giving you knowledge, I'm giving you word, then it's your responsibility to plant it. Y'all got that? Mark 4, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. So what is this sower doing? He's intending to do what? Sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. What happened? That person never intended to use a word. It just laid there. They didn't bother putting it in the ground. It just laid on top of the dirt. And some fell on stony ground. And it came to pass as he sowed. Oh, yeah, it's right there. And some fell on stony ground where they had not much earth. And immediately. It sprang up because it had no depth of earth. See, some people hear the word, they get excited. But they never planted. They got enough dirt in them to know that the word can do something, but it never gets deep enough to have any roots. It never gets to the place where it can change them. Ooh, Jesus. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. See, when the tests and trials come, and because it had no root, it didn't have no choice but to die and wither away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. Some trying to plant amongst their religious traditions about what the word should and shouldn't do. You're sitting in religious environments. Some of you are online listening by the radio. You know you're in a religious environment. You're trying to get word to work, and it's not because you're putting it amongst the thorns. You keep getting all that religious teaching in you that counterattacks the word. You can't develop faith in that environment. It's choking it out because they teaching you that you got to struggle. It's choking the word of faith. And then it says, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. Now, you got to look at it and say, well, what's the difference? Because of the motive and the intent, what they intended to do with the word. So if I intended to plant the word, I'm preparing my heart to receive word. So it's already rich soil. Say it's already rich soil. But when I'm locked down and I feel like I already know the answer, I just blocked up what the answer could be. Sometimes the answer you think you need is not the answer you need. But if the word never gets planted, it never produces faith. You got to hear that one. It is not just the repeating of the word that brings faith. Although you have to speak the word to start the planting process. In order to get it in your heart, you must say it. But it's the motive and the intent that's creating faith or not bringing you faith. Why am I saying the word? Is it just because I'm in a crisis or because I'm struggling at this moment? That's not a reason to plant the word. You plant the word in you because you don't want to sin against God. And being broke is an accusation against our God. Being sick is an accusation against our God. Having bad relationships is an accusation against our God. You should want to take that out of your presence. That's why you plant the word. Because I don't want God to look like he's not God. Not because I got a crisis in my life. Because my motive is going to determine whether faith comes alive. So just saying a lot of scriptures doesn't give you faith. When you plan to do nothing with that word. Look at John chapter 12, St. John. Oh, man. Woo, this anointing is strong up here, y'all. Look at John chapter 12. Because the Spirit of God wants us to come out of these dilemmas that we've been living in for so long. But we got to remove the cloud. We got to remove all the mess that's been keeping us from doing and getting the results that we've been looking for. John 12, look at verse 23. Now you going to believe what Jesus said? All right. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except, somebody say except, a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. He says, unless that word gets planted into the soil of your heart and die to the soil and become one with the soil of your heart, is seed all by itself. It is producing absolutely nothing. It's like having a seed in your hand, expecting it to bring you a harvest. He said, until it get in your heart, Faith not there yet. Keep right on saying it till you know it's in your heart, until faith comes. Because faith is going to talk like God. It's going to take the wine out of your voice, as Mark Hankins can say. It'll take the wine out of you. It'll remove your complaining. When faith is present, it has some evidence. It's called, I talk just like God. I look just like God. I act just like God. And things respond to me. Do you see why I keep affirmations in my mouth? Things respond to me the same way they responded to God. Why? Because I'm talking just like God, with the same motive of God. Woo! Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you learning this morning? Chapter 15, let's look at verse 36 or 37, whichever. 36. Yeah, verse 36. I don't know how many of y'all ever read this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened. In other words, it doesn't come alive unless it die first. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other. In other words, what you plant is not going to look like the seed that's in your hand. When you plant it and it died to the soil, when it comes back and yield to you, it looks totally different. And that's called faith. Faith comes with power to change what you're looking at. It doesn't look like that little seed you had in your hand, that mustard seed. It's yielding back to you the harvest. Faith is a harvest. Faith is a type of harvest from us sowing word. You missed that one. When the word is planted, this is how you know when people walking in faith. It becomes your system of thinking. It becomes your ideology. It will govern your life. You're not trying to come up with suggestions on your own anymore. The word is your governor. Too many Christians are like junkies. They are looking for a quick fix, but not transformation. The word has the power, say it has the power, to transform every aspect of your life. But when you're just looking for a quick fix, it won't sustain you. Because it takes faith. The Bible declares that the just shall live by faith. Faith is the harvest of the word being planted and allowed to develop in us. We have the most potent seed ever known to mankind. That's the word of God. And we take our time planting it. It'll yield to you faster than anything you can that yield in this life is the word. And we take our time planting. See, that's the plan of our enemy. And if you start planting it, then he come and sow wild seeds in there. You know, he put that other stuff in there that's not, it's called fear. He'll mix it up, which means your harvest is contaminated. See, it's foolish. It's even presumptuous of a believer to not develop faith and then wish for a spectacular happening where they don't have to use faith. That's what a lot of believers are. They're looking for the spectacular where they don't have to use faith. That's why I'm looking for a miracle. I expect the impossible. You don't have no foundation. We're living looking for a miracle. When you got a whole book of seed that you can plant, and you taking your time planting, looking for a spectacular, and you're missing the supernatural. Because this word is so supernatural, it'll change everything about you. Faith is a law, and we must live according to the law if we're going to succeed as a believer. Look at Proverbs 6. Look at verse 20. See, you got to get, you need to go home and say, I'm going to become a farmer. I'm going to start planting. I'm going to brag on my daughter, Regina. That girl got some good lettuce over there. Don't go begging, because I'm the one, she getting her lettuce to me. No, she can share it with anybody she wants. I'm just joking, but she got some good lettuce over there, y'all. Made me so I don't even want to go to the store and buy lettuce anymore. It's all right. She's a good farmer. That's what a good farmer does. They bring forth a harvest. Yeah, glory to God. Yeah, are you at Proverbs 6, verse 20? Okay. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. He said, you need to put these words. See, because when Solomon came along, the Bible wasn't written. The Bible you read today wasn't written. The parents' job was to pass the word from one generation to the other. They couldn't go and take the commandments out of the ark. They had to learn it. I mean, not out of the ark, but out of the, y'all know what I'm talking about. It was the Ark of the Covenant. See, y'all laughing at me. They couldn't get it out. They couldn't touch it. They would have died. They were commanded to teach it from one generation to the other until God raised up men that would pen it the way he needed to be written. How many of your children know a scripture? How many of y'all teaching your children the law of God, the law of faith? Or are you teaching the law of fear, doubt, and unbelief? Just because you take them to church, you know that don't mean they're born again, right? It's your job to get that done at home. Smile real big, and nobody know that your child not right. It says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou art awake, it shall talk with thee. It's talking about the word. Woo. For the commandment is a lamp. Now, another scripture says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says right here, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You're going to be reproved. You got to get instruction because you don't know everything. You got to start coming packed with your gun like you already know. I can't, you know, it. I have to really adjust myself, and that's the Lord have me compassion. Because I get so tired of talking to people. I already said they already know that. Okay, then what you asking me for? You don't need my opinion. You already got the word. Do it. Come with some proof. Because right now you're just complaining, and you're getting on my nerves. I'm becoming righteously indignant with you. That's another way of looking at it. Because you already got your own answer. What's the point of going to a doctor if you become the doctor? Stay your hip tone, save some money. Take your own drugs. You see how dumb we are? We go to a doctor, then you complain. If you're not going to do what they said, don't go. It's crazy. You look like an idiot. But he says if you put the word in every area of your life, it'll lead you. It'll talk to you. It'll be in your sleep. When you sleep in the word, it'll start talking to you. It'll make you have a good sleep. Woo! It'll be a light when you're walking. Ooh, Jesus. The whole counsel of the word is faith. Everything God counsels us in his word is faith. Why? It's the law that governs the kingdom of God. Faith governs the kingdom of God. And can't nobody please God without it. So to not develop your faith, you are in rebellion with your saved self. Because you've been commanded to live by it. Not make it your hobby. Not use it when you think you need to use it and expect God to respond to you just because you're in a crisis. You are not the Israelites anymore. We got a better covenant. God dealt with them the way he dealt with them because they didn't have God in them. You're supposed to have God in you. What's your issue? Oh, Jesus. To access the things of kingdom, faith, which is the law, must be present. The law says that when I come to God, I must believe first. I must already have confidence. Now, see, if I'm coming as a sinner and I'm asking God to save me, I want to get born, it's different. But as a believer, I've been commanded that when I come to God, let's look at Hebrews 11, getting ready to close. Look at verse 6, Hebrews 11. That when I come before him, I must believe first. And I must believe something about him. Are you there? Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible. They say you could almost do it. They say you can mix it up and you might get something. No, it's not shake and bake. How many of y'all remember shake and bake? I don't know what they got out there today. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe first. You don't see the word first. You got to believe that he is. You got to believe that he really, truly exists. And that he is God Almighty. And above all, that God is a rewarder. He rewards those that diligently seek him. Not begging. Not cry, but I'm seeking him. Why? My motive and intent is that I'll never sin against you. I'm going to put this word in me. I'm seeking you because I want to please you. And then I'll take the power you put inside of me, and I'll change my life. I'll change my household. I'll change my money because you've empowered me to change those things. That's called prosperity, not just money. You've empowered me in your word to rewrite everything that's out of place in my house. Did you learn anything this morning? Come on, stand to your feet.